happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup.
How are you, Ann?
Well, there's a new chapter in my medical saga. Last week, in addition to telling you last week that I'm leaving the show, I also told you, unconnected, not part of that, that a new, didn't I tell you I have a new mass in my chest?
Yes, but so what's the next part? I haven't heard it yet, so I'm hearing it along with everyone else.
That's true. I was a little freaked out about that. I thought, oh, no, my oncologist told me I was cured, and here I am with a new lump. What's going on? Well, I had a biopsy yesterday, and while I don't have the official results, the radiologist who did the biopsy said, oh, please, why are we even doing this? It's just a ball of fat. It's very common after surgery. Nothing to worry about. Oh. I'm 99.9% sure.
Well, that's a great relief to us, I'm sure, as well as to you.
Fantastic. I was prepared. I had an appointment right afterwards with my oncologist, and I was prepared to go say to her, what do you mean I'm cured? I've got this new lump. But instead, I had to go to her and say, you were right. I'm fine. So, you know, I'll tell you the official, it takes a few days to get a biopsy analysis, but every expectation is that I am absolutely fine. The lump is just a little fat and we can move on.
We're going to miss your updates, but you can still send them to Gay USA. Just go to our website and our email is there.
That's how I'll remain with the show. Medical updates.
Why not? You can come in anytime. You are always welcome. If you have something, seriously, you got something you really want to get off. Well, I was going to say, get off your chest. If you want to say, you call us anytime. We'll slip you in the program.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay.
Meanwhile.
Well, in the news. Now the Federal Trade Commission has joined Trump's war on trans people. Everybody's getting into the act in that administration.
Why not? And Secretary of War Crimes, that's Andy's new title for him, I like that, Hegseth, ended the military flu vaccine mandate and a flu outbreak ensued.
So I've told you about there's a Republican candidate for the Connecticut House who called for literally executing gay people. Well, he's getting a primary from the Republican Party.
Yeah, the Republican Party is really scrambling in Connecticut to get rid of this guy, but he refuses to withdraw.
Let's see if he wins.
LGBTQ people are fleeing the United States in record numbers.
Here's a first. Sonoma County, which is a bit of a lesbian enclave, is having it's always had pride. It's having its first dyke march.
Yeah. Nice.
Exactly. We have picture.
Yeah. Doctors in Colorado who were ordered by the court to resume gender affirming care for minors say they're afraid to.
You know, they were ordered to do it in New York too by the attorney general. I haven't heard any follow up on that.
We have many details to go into on that story. Yeah.
Clive Davis, the hit-making bisexual record executive who gave us everyone from Bruce Springsteen to Whitney Houston and many more, has died at 94.
Public pride celebrations, it turns out, took place in 101 countries last year. We are not going back.
And Japan is the first country to approve nationwide LGBTQ awareness training in all of its schools. They don't even have same-sex marriage.
I know. I kind of feel like this should be the top headline. It's very exciting. Nepal is the 40th country to recognize marriage equality.
They sort of finalized that with a court decision. Okay. Yeah. So the Federal Trade Commission, they have joined Trump's war on trans people. The FTC and four U.S. states have sued the World Professional Association for Transgender Health over deceptive claims over gender-affirming care for minors. So the FTC, along with Alaska, Iowa, Nebraska, and Texas, filed the lawsuit, and it's their latest bid to harass. You know, they're saying, a spokesman for the FTC, parents have a right to make informed decisions about their children's health. The FTC will not allow parents and children to be deceived by medical organizations and providers who are prioritizing profit over children's health and safety.
This is Look, going after their definition of deception and fraud is just that doctors say that trans kids can be helped by medicine and good medical care. That's the FTC's definition of fraud, and also, that's why they're going after them.
Well, they're also probing the Endocrine Society and the American Academy of Pediatrics over guidelines they set for gender-affirming care. It is
And these organizations, the trans organizations, the medical organizations, say this is a relentless and targeted attack of pure retaliation. This is just all a campaign by the right wing to wipe out any of this care and to allow trans people to exist and to be defined as who they are. But meanwhile, there's a terrific judicial decision today as we meet. The judge has blocked these phony subpoenas that have been given to hospitals asking for all the medical records of trans youth. And the judge says, no, we're going to continue to fight this out. And meanwhile, these subpoenas are to be held in abeyance. You do not have to follow these subpoenas.
But the march to fascism continues. I mean, whatever you think of what happened in Texas with the what they call the Antifa activists who protested at Prairie Land ICE Detention Center, where an officer was shot. I mean, but they have sentenced these activists to a combined 450 years in prison. I mean, it's like 1,000% longer than the recommended thing for some of these people who were one of them is a 100-year term, et cetera. So, but, you know, Todd Blanche is thrilled.
It's disgusting. You go out and protest and you're arrested and put in jail for 50 years? No. So I'll give you a few other good news legal decisions, and then we can continue the list of horribles. A judge has blocked the Trump collection of Social Security and citizenship information, which is meant to screw up the voting system and deport more people. And the judge has said, no, this is absolutely unconstitutional. You cannot, you're not supposed to even have this information, let alone use it in these ways. Another judge has blocked subpoenas of Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota. The government has been trying to relentlessly punish him for the successful actions of the people of Minnesota in driving ICE out of there. And the judge has now said, cut it out. You cannot phony up subpoenas against Tim Walz. And we're waiting to hear about the Supreme Court decisions that are on the docket that it'll be decided in the next week or so. There are 12 outstanding decisions, and 8 are considered major. One of them is the West Virginia case on trans youth medical care and whether that's allowed. So we'll keep an eye on that.
Hard to be optimistic there. I am optimistic about the birthright citizenship decision.
Yes, yes. Well, so am I, but you know, we have found we cannot count on things entirely. But all of, keep your eyes on that, and most of it will be decided by the time we see you next week, so we'll discuss it then.
All right. Let's talk about the Secretary of War Crimes, Pete Hegseth. He lifted the decades-old mandate that all military personnel had to get vaccinated for the flu. Now, let me bring you back to World War One. What they call the
Spanish, please don't.
No, what they call the Spanish flu, right, was rampant then. And it started, a lot of it was on America, on American bases, and they weren't controlling it, but we got into the war. So we sent these men on ships to France to fight, and they all got sick on the ships. We lost more people to the flu in World War I among the soldiers than we did to battle. So that's what I'm saying. But he said, now military personnel, requiring the shots was an unrelenting war on our warriors, including their right to for medical autonomy and freedom to express their religious convictions. So what happened? A major flu outbreak at the basic training facility at Lackland Air Force Base. And now they've more than 200 Air Force soldiers have been stricken. So what have they had to do? They've had to say, oh, never mind, go back to,
A mandate for the flu vaccine. I guess their religious freedom is not so important after all.
Yeah.
And also HHS, Health and Human Services, is threatening to end PEPFAR funds for South Africa. They, as you know, they have demolished USAID. They have cut PEPFAR funds around the world. Well, now they are telling South Africa that they're not going to get any PEPFAR funds unless they get rid of their laws that empower their black citizens. That's to DEI for the United States. As a result,
almost like 95% of the refugees we're taking now are white South Africans.
Well, if we take them all, then maybe South Africa can go back to empowering its own citizens without losing funds. Or maybe the U.S. will decide no funds are needed for a country with a black population.
Another good court decision out of Colorado from the state Supreme Court. They've ordered Children's Hospital, Colorado, to resume providing gender-affirming care to trans youth after they were suspended in January. So now it says they are resuming the program, but the doctors are very nervous about providing the care for fear of losing their medical license or facing criminal charges.
Yes, well, it is scary. When the federal government says you're going to lose all your Medicare funding, that's something to be concerned about.
So the hospital is saying, well, we'll do it, but the families need to put up a $250,000 bond before the care is resumed.
Oh, my God. And a discouraging court decision in California. You know, California passed a law saying that schools are not allowed to automatically out trans or non-binary or gender questioning kids to their parents, because often the parents are not happy about that and may act out against the kids. So the law says that the kids have a right to some autonomy in this. Well, parents went to court and said, come on, they're our kids. You have to tell us what's going on. And the court has now blocked the law temporarily while this is being adjudicated. And on the basis of parents' rights, kids are not protected from schools outing them to their parents.
Well, they should make the parents sign something that they're not going to throw their kids out if they find out.
And hand over a $250,000 bond.
All right. We told you about this Republican nominee for an Eastern Connecticut House seat, Jaden McCormick. We got a picture of him, 23. He has been agitating for the death penalty for homosexuality, and he posted that it's in his Bible. It is, in fact, in Leviticus. He's also reposted content questioning the true death toll of the Holocaust. So,
He also doesn't think women should hold political office.
Well, that's in the Bible.
He's 23 years old. Why is anyone listening to this guy?
Well, you know, this is who they get. So the Republican Party, this was too much for them. Matt, can you imagine?
Well, originally they endorsed him, as did the University of Connecticut Republican Club.
Right. And I mean, and the as the Democratic Senate Majority Leader there in Connecticut, Bob Duff, wrote, this guy wrote a biography of the preacher Stephen Anderson, who advocates the death penalty for gay people, has been banned in more than 30 countries, and his church is a hate group. Did they Google him?
So now the Republicans are in panic mode because this guy, Jaden McCormick, gave a radio interview where he stood up for all these views. He didn't back down an inch. He said, this is what I believe. I'm right. This is how we should be running things. Yes, LGBTQ people should be executed. He published a picture of a noose. He's just out of control. So someone has come forward to primary him. Luckily, the Connecticut primary is not till August. Imagine if it had been yesterday, like
well,
in
they
New
only
York.
Had a few days to gather the signatures to get them all.
But they got them. They got they the got signatures. Them.
This guy's name is Tony Emilio, 70 years old. We have very opposite views. He says of this guy, I believe that God is love. I don't think he's vengeful and wants to lynch anybody, though the God of the Bible does cast us into hell for eternity, if that's of any, that you know, for doing these things.
Well, you go get him, Tony. We're in favor of you winning the nomination, just to get Jaden McCormick out of the way. But this is for a House seat in Connecticut. This is
which the Republicans are going to lose. There's a Democratic incumbent. I think they're going to lose the seat.
Well, maybe it's Eastern Connecticut, which is a more conservative part of the state.
It is. Yeah. All right. Should we go to York, Pennsylvania, where there was an independent pro baseball team, the York Revolution. They canceled their Pride Night game Thursday, citing players' refusal to wear uniforms with rainbow sleeves 1 week after three San Francisco Giants players altered their own team's Pride-themed hat. So this is becoming a huge national controversy.
Well, the San Francisco Giants are sort of saying, look, we did not communicate appropriately with our players. They should have known they could wear their regular uniforms without the Pride symbols on the caps or whatever, and then they wouldn't have had to write biblical references on the caps. I don't know whether the players would have gone along with that or whether we think that is appropriate, but that's where it stands at the moment. But the Department of Justice, because they have nothing better to do, and because they
and
have...
That's all they do.
Exactly. They are now going to investigate this whole mess with the San Francisco Giants and Major League Baseball in general. Every other team that does Pride Nights held them successfully and peacefully this year, and the Giants were the only ones who had this little kerfuffle, and that was just three ornery players. So it's also important to understand that these Pride Nights do exist successfully around the country, and we should straighten out this little problem, but we should not get Todd Blanche involved in going after all of Major League Baseball for these Pride Nights, because, of course, this will be seen as DEI.
But going back to the York Revolution, we should note that the team said that, you know, the players boycotting was completely inconsistent with our vision of being the most welcoming place in York. And they donated $10,000 to the Rainbow Rose Center, and they had to forfeit the game because they only had fewer than nine players on the 28-man roster were willing to play in Pride uniforms.
Oh, sure, come on. Yeah.
Well, don't you have any Pride? Don't you have any gay relatives? Aren't you gay yourself?
Well, that may be the bigger question.
All right.
More on that later.
Well, by the way, J.D. Vance says that sports teams, we have a picture, there he is, he's such a good, don't have to do Pride Nights anymore because Trump won.
Is he the most awkward man on the face of the earth?
Yes, I hardly see him getting elected president, but I didn't think Trump could get elected, and there you are.
Well, I did, but I agree with you that I was skeptical that Vance can pull it off. But, Marco is just waiting in the wings, quietly biding his time. Well, I don't want him as president either.
I think he ought to resign and say, I'm sorry, we did all this crap right now. But Gays Against Guns is doing double pride on Sunday. They're the Grand Marshals in the New York City, one of the Grand Marshals, in the New York City Pride March, which starts at noon, and they're going to finish by 2:30, so there's plenty of time to march on the Queer Liberation March, which kicks off at 3 from Union Square.
So that's Sunday. Let's do a little review of the whole weekend. On Friday, we have the drag march assembling at 7 o'clock at Tompkins Square Park on the Lower East Side or East Village, marching, stepping off around 8 to just saunter over to the Stonewall, a mere mile away. You can dress up. You can not dress up.
Well, it's harder to do in heels, you know. Come on.
Well, many people do it, but many of us don't want to do that, even in our real life. But the drag march is very colorful and friendly and casual, and everybody's welcome, and that's Friday night. Then on Saturday, there's a new little event, which everyone's invited to in the afternoon, a sort of pre-Dyke March event, 1 to 3 p.m. at the lovely Angel of the Waters statue in Central Park at 72nd Street.
Bethesda Fountain there.
Very famous. You recognize it from a million different movies. But it was made by an out lesbian sculptor, Emma Stebbins, and is quite the landmark. So the sort of artsy gay people are gathering there from 1 to 3 p.m. just to hang out casually. And as I say, it's open to all. Everyone is welcome. And then the Dyke March assembles in Bryant Park at 42nd Street and 6th Avenue and steps off to march down 5th Avenue at 5
o'clock. Once again, without a permit.
And very promptly, they operate at a very
prompt.
There
are pride events all over the country, then not all this weekend, which is the anniversary of the Stonewall Rebellion. But we will give you a link that will, you can find out where the events are in your area all throughout the year, really.
But the new one that caught our eye.
Yes, is Sonoma County. Now, they've had pride marches for a long time. They just held their first Dyke March. They're billing it as Generations Uniting around this. And 600 participated in the march. And they had a Lesapalooza street fair on the square in Santa Rosa, the county seat. And, you know, Dyke marches began in 1993 in Washington, D.C., I think around the time of the March on Washington, right?
At the March on Washington.
Well, yes. And this event's motto is all identities, all orientations, one march. They're inclusive. They're including non-binary, sapphic people, spectrum, trans, everything. So, and it looked like great fun.
Exactly, especially with the intergenerational aspect and the fact that there was a lot of appreciation of that, which is good to see.
And then in Philadelphia, they did they're doing it today or whatever. They're doing a large-scale tribute mural during June's Pride Month. These are people who have passed away, who were leaders in the community. Gloria Cesarez, who was a civil rights leader. Michael Hinson, who was an LGBTQ AIDS leader. Tyrone Smith, AIDS activist. Nyza Morris, a Black transgender entertainer, and Dawn Monroe, a scientist and dedicated organizer for the Trans Day of Remembrance. So a great group of people. And wow, it's beautiful.
It is. And they all have their own flowers. But meanwhile, in Philadelphia, they held the Pride event on June 7th. And they moved it from its traditional location to a nearby place to accommodate a larger crowd. But then it was a little less organized, and the police department freaked out and attacked the crowd. They with tasers. The police were wearing masks. They were quite violent against the crowds. And so everyone's up in arms there. The council is going to hold a hearing about it to examine what the police did. I've seen several instances of police attacking pride marches and crowds. Very discouraging.
I'm sorry.
But I also have a question about the New York City Pride March, the Pride Parade, because some of the Grand Marshals have signed a letter, and ex-Grand Marshals, asking that the parade exclude the hospitals that have been reluctant to provide trans care and have been willing to hand over the records of trans youth getting care at the hospitals. I don't know how that will be affected by this new court decision, but there is a movement to complain about the hospitals being in the Pride Parade.
I think if they've cut the care, they should take a walk, not in the parade. And while most of us are looking for which March parade to go to, a record number of LGBTQ people in the United States are fleeing the president's anti-trans policies by seeking asylum in other countries. And this also includes LGBTQ people. This is a report from Rainbow Railroad. Not surprising, these things have peaked under Trump.
In Delaware, the state has updated its parentage laws to protect IVF and surrogacy more thoroughly, and by doing so to protect same-sex parents. That's a good local move. A bad local move in Cleveland, Ohio, where the Tennessee, I'm not quite sure why it's Tennessee, but it is, Christian Prep School is punishing a lesbian student. She posted on Facebook a couple of pictures of her with her girlfriend. I think we have those pictures there. They're a cute couple. But the school got a hold of this and said, would not let her graduate, would not give her her diploma. And then they entered into a settlement finally, and she is getting $10,000 from the school.
She said, look, I never attacked the school. You can't get me on that. I'll go back to Washington, D.C. The National Park Service has erected, once again, heavy steel security around DuPont Circle on Friday morning, closing the park out of the Capitol Pride events. It's just, this is something we protested in the past, but they continue to do it.
And they've put a fence around the reflecting pool.
Have they now?
Yes.
I'm sure it looks wonderful. What color is it?
They're having some big event there, and it's going to be sitting there with this big fence around it and all the algae sitting on the top
can't
of it.
I believe the people still defending him. Yeah. By the way, speaking of Washington, the pro-LGBTQ heavy metal band GWAR, G-W-A-R, has staged a fake onstage execution of at least four U.S. presidents, but it never received visits from the Secret Service about it until Donald Trump became president, they said.
In Erie, Pennsylvania, they were having a city council meeting. The city council president is a trans man. Highly respected, he's been elected the president of the council. But another council member doesn't like this and is relentlessly bullying this guy, and got up and was ordered to do something and replied, "Yes, ma'am." And people took offense. And at the next council meeting, 5 dozen people showed up to object to this and to yell at this guy. He had no response, but he left the meeting and hit on a young female reporter on his way out.
I would say, where are your manners? In Delaware, the governor, Matt Meyer, signed a bill updating parentage laws around in vitro.
Just spoke about that.
Okay, you got that. By the way, it is so complicated that I'm linking to the story.
Okay.
Because it's very subtle.
Mobile, Alabama, a trans woman, LaDeja Walters, 32 years old, was found shot dead. Not really any other details available yet, but yet another murder of a trans woman.
And in Alabama, Kalena Peaches Krosky, a 32-year-old Black trans woman, was found unresponsive during a routine check at Birmingham City Jail last Thursday and couldn't be resuscitated. This was followed a suicide attempt by another inmate in the facility. They're not taking care of their inmates. There are many places in the United States.
Jason Collins, the out gay basketball player who died recently at 47 of a brain tumor, is going to be honored at the ESPY Awards this summer. He's going to be awarded the Arthur Ashe Award for Courage, which will be, the ESPYs are a very popular annual event on TV, highly watched, and it will
Didn't
be
they give
nice.
That to Caitlyn Jenner once?
They did when she first came out as trans.
Yikes! Well, Jason Collins is a worthy recipient.
Exactly.
Caitlyn Jenner is a traitor.
I would agree with that.
To her own people.
Yep. A few other people we've lost this week.
Well, certainly Clive Davis, here in the picture with perhaps his most famous client, Whitney Houston. He's died at 94, multiple Grammy, record producer, executive, et cetera. I mean, he was president of Columbia Records, where he signed Carlos Santana, Bruce Springsteen, and Janis Joplin. He's also credited with revitalizing Aretha Franklin's career at Arista. He signed Barry Manilow and made Mandy a hit. He also signed the Grateful Dead, Patti Smith, Lou Reed, Dionne Warwick, and, of course, Whitney Houston at the age of 19. So he publicly came out as bisexual in his 2013 autobiography, The Soundtrack of My Life. Now, there he is with his surviving partner, Greg Schreifer, who you hardly seem mentioned in the obituaries that are appearing about him. But what he wrote is that openness in all areas of life is an important component of happiness. He'd been married a couple of times. But he said he opened himself up to relationships based on the person rather than the gender. Mm-hmm. He got the President's Merit Award in 2009 from Obama, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a non-performer. So, you know, quite a power, probably the most power in the music industry.
Enormous. But one wonders what was in the water at Arista. You have him coming out very, very late. Whitney Houston outed after her death. Barry Manilow coming out very late. It's a little list there.
Do it while you can. And then we lost John Tanzella, the president CEO of the International LGBTQ Plus Travel Association, for the past two decades, has died at 61. This is an association that connects travel professionals, organizations, and companies who value LGBTQ travelers. He died in Palm Springs, was a tireless champion of young LGBTQ tourism entrepreneurs around the world, especially those living in places where being themselves was illegal, dangerous, or deeply stigmatized.
And I think we should also note the passing of James Burroughs, the legendary television director who died this week, who, starting with the Mary Tyler Moore Show in the 70s and on through Cheers and Friends and Frasier and Will and Grace and others, he directed every episode of Will and Grace because he thought it was so important that it be done right. And he is getting many, many accolades for his allyship through this entire career with the LGBTQ.
Everybody loved having him as a director.
Yes. And if you look at these shows, they all had gay episodes, gay characters, whatever, and always treated with respect and appreciation. No cheap jokes, just inclusion from early on.
All right. International news?
Yes.
So Outright International reports that Pride events last year took place in 101 countries out of the 183 UN member states last year amid bans, arrests, and funding cuts. Now, so the purple areas are the ones that have multiple ones. The orange area's pride is held in one city, including Mongolia, I see there. With the red ones, you can see that's where pride is not held. And wow, so we have spread around the world, but
we have a ways to go.
We do. Pride is decentralizing. Crackdowns have intensified. And we could go through what they've some countries have done to them, but people are doing it anyway.
Well,
corporate sponsors continue to withdraw, you know, and ending their sponsorships.
I think the most exciting story of the year is what has just happened in Japan. Japan, a country which has been reluctant in its approval of same-sex relationships and has not legalized marriage yet. But it passed in 2023 an act on the promotion of public understanding of the diversity of sexual orientation and gender identity. And they are now instituting a national education program in schools, universities, workplaces, homes, teacher training to increase public awareness and understanding. They still need to pass a lot of laws, but they are starting this education campaign. And I think it's so exciting to have a federal government adopt this attitude of the need to educate the entire population of the country on respect for us.
And this was signed off by the conservative prime minister, Sane Takaichi, the first female leader of Japan, who openly admires Margaret Thatcher, who you may remember did Clause 28 or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah, not our friend.
Banned this kind of thing. Yeah. But Japan is still the only G7 country without marriage equality.
So tell us what to expect from Andy Burnham.
Well, Andy is going to replace... They're acting like they're in turmoil. No, they're totally united behind the guy there in the left who's taking the selfie. He was the mayor of Manchester. He's considered to have a more pro-gay record than Prime Minister Keir Starmer, who has resigned, although is staying on until they go through the process of making Andy Burnham the prime minister. So Burnham has been very good on many LGBTQ issues. In 2015, he urged Pope Francis to support same-sex marriage and bring the Catholic Church into the 21st century. But like almost everybody else, he's hedging on the trans issues, and that's a problem. After the Supreme Court decision there that defined sex as biological sex only, he said, well, those guidances should be introduced in the fairest and most compassionate way possible. Single-sex spaces should be protected, but without marginalizing already marginalized communities. So I would expect him to be better in many ways than Starmer. And he's, you know, they hope that he's the savior of the Labour Party, which is sinking in the polls to the fascist Reform Party. Although he won his seat just recently by beating a Reform candidate who would otherwise probably have won that seat because he is popular. He's relatable.
Okay, well, that's a good step in the right direction. And speaking of the Vatican, they have just rejected a request from the German church to allow women to speak at masses. And the Vatican said, nope, only ordained priests or deacons can give sermons at mass. We're holding on to this for ourselves. Don't let
this
those
is nuts.
Stupid little women.
I mean, or lay people. This is nuts for a church that's going down in many places. You don't allow women to be ordained, and now you say they can't talk.
Perhaps they should run for the House in Connecticut.
Nepal's Supreme Court has ruled in favor of equal marriage. It's a huge win. I mean, again, they've been edging up towards this, but now Nepal is the 40th country in the world to legally recognize equal marriage. So they have done it.
Just a little note to make sure we leave room for our special video at the end of the show.
Yes.
Another big triumph in Kyiv, Ukraine. They held the biggest pride parade they've held since the start of the war.
Great. Back to England, Graham Norton just won a U.S. court case forcing Meta, that's Facebook, to name the person behind the deepfake posts against him, which attacked his mother, his own ill health, his partner, falsely labeling him offensive, racist, or otherwise, all this kind of stuff. So he won his case, and they're going to try to expose whoever this person is.
And I'll be exposing the AI version of myself that you put on this show after I've gone.
We told you that David Hockney, of course, died. His funeral was attended by just two people. His partner there, JP, and his great nephew, Richard. And that's all that he wanted. There will be memorial services down the road in London and in Paris and other places. And interestingly, his artwork is essentially being left to foundations.
It's being donated all over. There is a current show of his work in London. You might want to try to get to that, Andy.
It's going to be at the Serpentine Galleries until August, yes. And I'm definitely going to try to go.
Okay. In Paris, in France, the National Assembly held a minute of silence in memory of a young man named Noam, 19 years old, who was attacked and killed as a hate crime there.
In the city of Metz in northeast France.
Yeah.
Died of his injury. But, two suspects were arrested. They are looking finally into this as a hate crime.
And in Iran, while the war rages or doesn't, a singer, Parastu Ahmadi, 74 lashes she was assigned because she sang without wearing her hijab. She is also not allowed to leave the country. 74 wow. lashes. That could kill you right there.
I am Parastu, a girl who wants to sing for the people I love. This is a right I could not ignore, singing for the land I love passionately. So those protests by women, which were starting to be effective, and it was pushing back the morality police, it looks like they're all back, thanks to the United States, actually.
Well, we put in a more rigorous government, a more vicious government, and there we are. And we've lost to them, so they are emboldened.
In AIDS news, than 200 of the city's fiercest dancers accomplished their mission at the Hammerstein Ballroom. Broadway Bears, licensed to strip there on Sunday, delivering an evening of high-stakes seduction and larger-than-life spectacle. They raised $2.5 million for Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS. Now, there you have in that picture. Wait a minute.
Jay Harrison G, Shoshana Bean, and Queen Jean.
There they go. And so this is an enormously popular show. What an amount of money to raise. And you know, the Broadway, all these Broadway dancers, 230 of them, they donate their services to this.
I'm sure it's a very exciting event.
If you can stand through the whole thing, which most people have to do, I've given up on that.
When ACT UP was at its height in the late 80s and 90s, there were chapters all over the world, but sort of idiosyncratically in the big cities, of course, but occasional small cities. And one of the places that had a very active ACT UP chapter was, believe it or not, Shreveport, Louisiana. And we were always looking at what was going on in Shreveport. Well, David Hyland has written a book, Small Town Rage, Fighting Back in the Deep South, which is about ACT UP in Shreveport. It's being released now. There are events this weekend, readings. You can look that up at davidhyland.com, H-Y-L-A-N. But Shreveport was quite a hotbed of activism with their local ACT UP chapter.
Entertainment news?
Yes.
And I understand that Girls Like Girls, maybe you could explain.
Well, we mentioned this last week, but I realized after reading more about it that I'm too old and I had given it short shrift. Girls Like Girls was first a song by Hayley Kiyoko. There she is. It was a huge hit, and it was turned into a book, and it's now being turned into a movie, and it's kind of autobiographical. We had just mentioned, oh, this movie is opening. What is this? Girls Like Girls. But in fact, it is going to be a major event as a new lesbian coming of age story that is going to be very popular. So you might want to check out Girls Like Girls.
And Chris Cooper says, you may want to check out Leviticus, the movie. He says it's an Australian movie currently in some U.S. theaters. That's unusual that it's a gay teen love story that's also a supernatural horror story. He says it excels at what the best horror specializes in, taking a real-life evil in our society and using something unnatural to spotlight it and ramp it up to the nth degree. Longing and fear coexist in equal measures. He recommends it. It features a very tender romance between these teenage boys, but the community unleashed, this is not from Chris, I'm reading this from elsewhere, the community unleashes a malevolent entity to force them apart, serving as a metaphor for the trauma of homophobia and conversion therapy and going after them. So doesn't sound like a feel-good movie, but...
It got a good review in the New York Times, too.
Oh, well, then I guess I have to go.
Just saying. I'm not endorsing all their stuff. Are you familiar with the actor John Early?
Sounds familiar.
Okay. Well, our friend Jackie...
You have a picture of him?
Yes. You look him up while I talk. Jackie Rudin turned me onto this, and I had seen him on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen. He wrote, directed, and stars in a new movie now playing in theaters, Maddie's Secret. He plays Maddie, which is a female role, and this too has gotten some rave reviews. And is, I can't describe the whole plot, but it's something that people are taking a look at as something to pay attention to. And also coming up on Netflix this Friday, Chris and Martina, The Final Set, a documentary about Chris Evert and Martina Navratilova, linked for life, evidently, where we've seen many iterations of their story over the years, but Netflix is going to run this new documentary starting Friday.
Am I wrong that they both have dealt with breast cancer?
Yeah, I think they have. They certainly have both dealt with cancer, and yes, it could have been breast cancer, yes.
Right. All right, how are you celebrating the 250th anniversary of this benighted country?
I haven't decided yet, but I'm celebrating Pride Weekend at the Drag March and at the Queer Liberation March. And in between on Saturday, I have had to organize and run a little golf tournament on Staten Island, which I will be competing in. So let's see if I can hold up through all that for the weekend. But now that my new mass turns out to be a ball of fat, I think I'll be just fine because
yes,
I'm actually I'm quite euphoric.
And we had hoped to be able to run this last week. It was Chris Cooper's observance of Juneteenth, which was on June 19th. It's his reflection how the Western cattle egret is a metaphor for the African diaspora. And maybe we should just show it to you.
Sometimes a bird is more than just a bird. Sometimes we human beings can make it a symbol. So as Juneteenth approaches, celebrating the end of slavery in the United States, I look to the Western cattle egret. A finer symbol for the African diaspora is hard to find, if you know a bit about the bird. These beauties are native to Africa, but more than a century ago, through some terrible storm they had no control over, a group of them were torn from their home and stranded on American shores. They faced hardships and challenges to their very survival in a strange new world. And yet, they went on to thrive and spread through the Americas. Just like us, the descendants of African women and men brought to the New World by the terrible storm of slavery. The Western Cattle Egret arrived in the Western Hemisphere in 1877, about the same time that slavery was ending throughout the Americas. I try to imagine the souls of our people who died in chains on the Middle Passage embodied in those lost birds, landing here when they did to finally be free in their new home. It's not science, but it's a graceful thought. The kind we can find when we know something about the birds and through that knowledge, embrace something about ourselves.
Well
really
done.
Beautiful.
Very beautiful. Very beautiful. Very insightful. Now, by the way, I don't watch as much golf on TV as Ann still does. I did watch the U.S. Open this week from Shinnecock, where this guy, Wyndham Clark, won. Now, of course, last year he was reviled by everybody for breaking a locker when he was frustrated after the tournament at Oakmont. And I think everybody condemned him. So when he shows up this year and he seems to have gotten his act together, the New York quote-unquote fans treat him absolutely abysmally. They don't clap for his good shots. They root for his bad shots. And it was just appalling. I mean, all right, so you're attacking him for bad behavior and you're acting like animals. You know, it's just terrible. It did remind me a little bit of walking through a crowd at the his strategy for dealing with this was to sort of, he took the boos as cheers kind of thing, which we did when we marched through downtown Manhattan in 1986 when the Statue of Liberty was being, you know, celebrated for 100 years. And we were protesting the sodomy decision from the Supreme Court. So all these people are jeering us. And I just kept saying, thank you for being here, you know, rather than reacting to it.
Wait, they were cheering you or they were booing?
Jeering. Boo, die, all that kind of stuff.
Well, Wyndham Clark's an interesting case because he has had a temper over the years and been not particularly appealing, but he was featured in the Netflix series about golf, Full Swing, I think. And what that showed us was that he signed up with a psychologist, a woman, who worked with him to get to his issues and to change his attitude. And he's come a long way. And what really impressed me about him winning, and I was cheering for him while others were being so ugly and horrible, as they were at the Ryder Cup last year, which was a disgusting display of boorish behavior by the New York crowds, and it's why I root for the Europeans in those competitions. But Wyndham Clark, when he won, he had an entourage of friends and family who came out of the crowd cheering, loving him, thrilled at his win. Usually there are like one or two people who are around to cheer a winner. He had so much support from these people, including the psychologist who was there, and his father, who had flown in secretly overnight from Colorado and surprised him on the last green. And that was just so heartwarming to see and so wonderful to see him stay in control of his emotions and not let the crowd defeat him. It was a tough ending. He had to really fight to win the tournament in the end, but he's clearly done the work on himself, and he paid for the damages, and he made contributions, charitable contributions, and he apologized sincerely and profusely. And that kind of evolution is a pleasure to see.
None
I'd like to see.
None of us should be defined by our worst moments. We all have them. Some of them are not as famous as that. Maybe if I get a good psychologist, I could get back to the game, or I'm certainly going to need one for dealing with the loss of Ann Northrup in a month.
We'll find you someone, Andy. We can get you through your mourning period.
All right. Hey, you know, we didn't talk about the elections at all. Of course, it was quite a sweep for the Democratic Socialists. And of course, the mainstream media is like, oh my God, you know, what's going on here? This is going to hurt the National Party. No, if you'd get on board with some of these things, you know, you might be winning elections. You might not have lost the last election.
The mainstream media is very wedded to a very conventional point of view. And what I liked was someone pointing out, look, when AOC was elected a few years ago, we all thought that was the end of civilization. But she has worked very hard to ingratiate herself in Congress, build relationships.
She's a credible candidate for president of the United States in 2020.
Exactly. Exactly. So I would say, give them a chance. Let's see what they do. And certainly better than Adriano Espaillat funding ICE. I had another list of his bad acts, but I don't
I was at an event where a New York Assembly member said, you know, and this is from a liberal district, I'm not going to say his or her name, saying, We can't, you know, get over it. We just can't do certain, we can't do everything. We can't do certain things. And I'm like, raise taxes on millionaires. I mean, you're not funding things that you are responsible for. Yes, the public housing is falling apart in New York because you're not paying the bills.
Because you want money from those millionaires who are paying you not to raise their taxes.
Exactly. It's just, come on. Anyway, good to be with you all.
And on that cheery note, we will see you. We will be together next week, back in the studio, we hope. And we hope to see you then. Bye-bye.
Sometimes a bird is more than just a bird. Sometimes we human beings can make it a symbol. So as Juneteenth approaches, celebrating the end of slavery in the United States, I look to the Western Cattle Egret. A finer symbol for the African diaspora is hard to find, if you know a bit about the bird. These beauties are native to Africa, but more than a century ago, through some terrible storm they had no control over, a group of them were torn from their home and stranded on American shores. They faced hardships and challenges to their very survival in a strange new world. And yet, they went on to thrive and spread through the Americas, just like us, the descendants of African women and men brought to the New World by the terrible storm of slavery. The Western Cattle Egret arrived in the Western Hemisphere in 1877, about the same time that slavery was ending throughout the Americas. I try to imagine the souls of our people who died in chains on the Middle Passage, embodied in those lost birds, landing here when they did to finally be free in their new home. It's not science, but it's a graceful thought. The kind we can find when we know something about the birds and through that knowledge, embrace something about ourselves.